following through on some orders that were given, along with blessings, how we articulate those blessings, and how important it is to do so. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church. This is episode number 530 of The Next Step, where we connect dots between the ancient and the modern, connect dots between the spiritual, the psychological, the physical, and everything in between. So if you're ready, I know I am. Let's take the next step.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Voskin. Here, Father Voskin provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, to disenfranchise members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
I received these orders several years ago and never thought that I would actually fulfill them in the way that I did. That's what I want to tell you about today, because you never know how things, well, how the dots get connected, okay? Now, this is back in the 1990s. I was serving as the parish priest at the St. Andrew Armenian Church. This is in Cupertino, California. Yes, you know Cupertino, Apple computers. Even if you don't know Apple computers, you know iPhone. That's the birthplace, Apple computers. Cupertino, birthplace for my family. Birthplace for our ministry. We started off there in a small little house which had a beautiful addition on it. We'd use it for church gatherings, but soon it became apparent that we needed an Armenian church. We needed a place to congregate and meet the needs of the community. So 1992, we finished after a lot of work. We finished this project, and by the grace of God, it was consecrated as St. Andrew Church in 1992. At that same time, there was another growing community, and they were Indian Orthodox. Now, you may not think that Indian, you think of the word Indian, you don't think of really Orthodox Christians, do you, right? Yes, but there is a small group of Orthodox Christian, and you know, really, when you talk about minority in a country that has a billion people, a small minority could still be like several million. You know, 10, 20, 30 million could still be a very small minority in a billion. So anyway, I don't know the exact numbers, but there is an Indian Orthodox community. And the reason I knew this is, like any of you that have studied just a little bit about the Armenian Church, about what our church is founded on, know that we are part of a small little group that is not quote-unquote Eastern Orthodox, although we are. No, we're not. They call us Oriental Orthodox Church. If you've studied, or you've just even in Sunday school books, they've got us in this list of called Oriental Orthodox Churches. And in this group are like people, the Copts, the Ethiopians, the Syrians, and there is the Indian Orthodox, which used to be called the Malabar Church. And I remember as a student, we'd always, you know, you'd know what a Coptic is because, well, a lot of the Armenians that came from Egypt and the Sudan, and there was like areas that they would come from, the Syrian church, you knew what they were. But the Indian Orthodox, you weren't familiar with that, be honest with you, okay? But a group up there in San Jose, in Cupertino, approached me and said, you know, we are sister churches. Of course we are. Yeah, we've read it how many times. And thank God we were able to, create a relationship between our two communities. They said, we're in the process of building our church. Would it be okay if we used your church? And you know, when your sister churches, now what does that mean? The sister churches, the Oriental Orthodox, we're not necessarily Eastern Orthodox. In other words, we're not part of the Greek, Russian. And we're not Roman Catholic, we're definitely not Protestant, but we adhere to the first three ecumenical councils, whereas the Eastern Orthodox adhere to seven ecumenical councils. There's a big division at Chalcedon, and later, if you really look at it very carefully, you understand that really these things a lot of times happen because of politics, not necessarily because of faith, not necessarily and definitely not because of Jesus Christ. So the Oriental Orthodox churches, which include the Armenian Church, the Ethiopian, the Coptic, the Indian Orthodox, which we'll refer as the Malankara. That's the correct name, the Malankara Orthodox Church, the Syrian Orthodox Church. Now, this small little group of Christians known as the Oriental Orthodox Communion, they adhere to the decisions of the first three ecumenical councils, namely Nicaea, which everybody knows, right, because of the Nicene Creed, which was developed from that council. The second ecumenical council toward the end of the fourth century, I believe it was 389, if memory serves me. Not that I was there, no, but if my history lessons serve me right, 389 was Constantinople, which is today's Istanbul. And the third ecumenical council was in 421. How about that? You can check me on that. I haven't checked these numbers. I don't want to say since college days, but they're pretty imprinted in my mind. Ephesus, 421. The three ecumenical councils led us on our Christology, on what we believe, who Christ is, who the person of Christ is. Saint Cyril of Alexandria, one of the main fathers of our church. Saint Cyril of Alexandria holding a formula that Jesus Christ is fully divine, fully human, and they are united in this divine and human nature is united. You cannot separate them. Without separation. They're not with mixture, without confusion, without alteration. And there's a beautiful formula. It's the basis for our faith, and it's the basis for our communion, the communion of this small group of Oriental Orthodox churches. So when this Indian Orthodox community came and they asked me, can we use your church? Wow. You know, now all of a sudden, that moment of truth where you realize what you've studied in school makes sense in the real world. You know, like when you're building something and you need to use the Pythagorean theorem to connect joints, and you realize that, hey, angles do follow a harmony of mathematics. That moment that you wake up and you realize, hey, what I studied has some application in the real world. Well, there it was in Cupertino. This Oriental Orthodox community, communion, came to be very real when the Orthodox Indian church came and asked if they could use our church while their church was being built. And I remember going to our archbishop at the time, Archbishop Vacehov Sepian, and asking him, and he said, of course, this is a communion, a sister church. And so we opened the doors of St. Andrew to this sister communion. And I can't remember if it was 6 months, a year, they used the church until their church was built, their building was built. And when the building was built, they had a consecration, and from India, a high-ranking cleric came to consecrate the building. Now, never forget this. It was a life-changing moment for me. In fact, I've shared this story even in Armenia because I think this is important. At an opportunity I had to preach a sermon in Yerevan a few years ago, this was the story that I shared with them, that this cleric from the Indian Orthodox Church came to San Jose to consecrate this church. And during that beautiful, beautiful ceremony, they invited me to go up. And, you know, I had just been standing there observing, enjoying, and really lost in the moment. And, you know, when they catch you and they say, would you come up? You don't want it. You know, you're just like there to pray. And all of a sudden, you become the spotlight comes on you. So I went up next to His Holiness. And they introduced me to him, and he thanked me on behalf of the people for opening the church up. And then he took off his pontifical ring, the ring of authority. And he handed me the ring. It's odd, right? Here's a lowly priest just next to you. I mean, I'm almost near shivering. You know, this is a major honor to be standing next to him. Now he's giving me the ring, and I'm wondering, what does this have to do? What is the story behind this? And he asks me, would you please read inside the inscription inside of this ring? And lo and behold, I look inside this ring, Indian Orthodox, his pontifical ring. I read inside of it, and it's written in Armenian letters, the name of Vazgen I of blessed memory, the Catholicos at the time of the Armenian people. Now, major shock, I'm reading it in Armenian letters. Indian Orthodox priest, he has this Armenian lettered ring. And he takes his ring and he tells his people, this ring was given to me by my brother in Christ, His Holiness Vazgen I. And he turns to the Indian people and he says, we have a lot to learn from the Armenian people. Because whereas we have been honored by the Maharajas, by the elite class in India, we have not known Christianity with suffering. And the Armenian people, this Armenian priest pointing to me, the Armenian church has not known Christianity without suffering. They have suffered, they have gone to the cross for Christianity. And you know, even now in telling the story, I get goosebumps when I remember that story, because it was a changing moment. I realized what an incredible mission, what an incredible message that I, as an Armenian priest, had to deliver. And it was given to me by this cleric, by this head of the Orthodox communion. And it really changed my life, because it became the focus, the cross of Christ. That Christianity comes to you by suffering. The resurrection is only real after there is a crucifixion. And this was a message, and if you've listened to me long enough, if you haven't, go back and listen. This is a central message to my ministry. It really, that one afternoon set the pace for the rest of my ministry. And I never thought that I would really, he said it as not as an order, but he challenged his people to listen to the Armenian story, because there was a message of Christianity with suffering. We had never known Christianity without suffering. Those were his words. And he told his people to listen to that story. In turn, I took it as an opportunity for me to develop my ministry, to say that is my ministry. That I come from a background of Christianity with suffering. I need to present that. I need to present that. That becomes the catalyst for the rest of my ministry, whatever God gives me. It became the basis for In His Shoes, that from that suffering, we start doing some good things. The flowering of the goodness, the power of good over evil, the power of God, the power of Christ will always be greater than any power of evil. And so all of a sudden this lesson that he's teaching his people, saying, listen to this man, becomes now my mission. And, you know, in his shoes, walking in the shoes of Christ, showing the opportunities that we have. Despite crucifixion, despite genocide, we can rise to the occasion. What is the lesson of the cross? What did we learn from Jesus up on the cross? That's the message. And so I never thought that I would get a chance to go back to that community, because in fact, his order was for them to listen. And now all of a sudden, I'm taking it as my challenge. And so it didn't click. I got to be honest. You know, I love connecting dots. It didn't click until this past week. There we were in the Poconos. And if you listen to the podcast last week, we recorded from the Poconos. We recorded from the conference. And it was just beautiful. The rest of it, I recorded on the second day we were there. There was two more days that we were there. And I have to tell you that inspirational, moving. It was really meditative in many senses because of language. Yeah. They were praying in a language that you don't understand allows you to connect to the heart rather than at an intellectual level. Yeah, now don't misquote me, okay? Don't say that you shouldn't understand, okay? Father Voskin says that we should all just like... No, there is a place for everything. There is a place to understand. But the opportunity that was given to us to be there... It, with this Indian community, with the Malankara church, with their hierarchs, their clergy, there's about 60 clergymen there. I mean, let me give you the stats on this, because this is wild. You know, we did a Reclaim conference this last 2 years, and I don't know, I never shared with you some of the background stuff. Some of the background stuff was ugly. People who criticized and says, so people won't come, won't do it. You know, it was just an exercise in who has faith. The Malankara Christian community, Orthodox community. And by the way, there will be links on today's show notes to everything I'm talking about. Do check out those links, okay? They tell a bigger story. They show you the picture. They organized this conference, and listen to the name of it, the 32nd Annual Youth and Family Conference. Where do you think their emphasis is? Just the name of it. It's not the Family and Youth Conference, it's the Youth and Family Conference. Where do you think the emphasis is? It was beautiful. And over again throughout the week, I heard them saying that the youth, it was like they were talking my language. They said, the youth are not the future. The youth are today. Yes, absolutely. It's like from the Armadoxy playbook, right? So they had found me and they wanted me to share with the youth. I was the main speaker. I was honored. It was a privilege, really, to be with these young people. In a few minutes, I'm going to play you a song that I was just graced to have the opportunity to hear them perform. But we had a chance to be with them, to enjoy their company. The priests, 60 priests. Some of them young, some of them older, but all of them committed to the faith, coming together, praying together. We actually celebrated the divine liturgy together. And this is what it means to be in communion. Okay, you go to their church as if it's your church. They come to your church as if it's their church. In other words, you can receive the Holy Communion, the Holy Body and Blood, transparently. And it was just beautiful. I've got to tell you, it was a moving, moving experience. Their hospitality. On the last day, they had a beautiful cultural event where, and you know, I shared with you last week some of the issues. Yeah, there is the language issue. There is the culture versus the religion issue. All things that ethnic churches have to deal with. But more importantly, they had the drive. I was going to give you statistics, excuse me. They organized this back in January or February. In 1 month, they sold out. 750 people were in attendance. Young people, old people, families getting together, sharing, praying together. And language doesn't need to be an issue. I we were seeing that. When participation is involved, everyone participates. On the last day, they had a cultural program, and our hosts were so gracious. One of the young girls said, "We're borrowing your wife for a little while." And I said, "Okay, I didn't know there were so many activities going on." You know, with 750 people, there's things going on in each room. I figured they were taking her to a meeting. No, lo and behold, a few minutes later, there was this beautiful parade going through the area. area, and there was Susan, and she was dressed, adorned in a sari, in the Indian garments, and they had lent her this beautiful, beautiful vestment. I want to call it vestment more than a dress. I know it's sari, but it is a vestment. It symbolizes something more than just clothing. It symbolizes a tradition. It symbolizes a people. And there she was in the mix. And, you know, I got it. But yes, heads were turning, of course. And we just felt so at home. And it really fortifies what church is all about, doesn't it? That's what church should be. It should be your home. I had a chance to speak on three different occasions to the youth. The first one, I spoke about Colossians 1:10, a living life worthy of the Lord. In the second session, I really got into the Armenian experience, and in so doing, fulfilled the order that was given to me back in the 1990s. It was a connecting of the dots. Some 25 years later, a quarter of a century later, there I was within the Malankara community talking about the Armenian genocide, but within the framework of the theme of the conference, living a life worthy of the Lord. How do you live it? By walking in the shoes, by doing something. And I've got to tell you, the reception from the young people was incredible. Taking an opportunity to engage in a dialogue about the cross of Christ. And the final session, we talked about what goes from here beyond, about creating our realities, creating more. So it was just a beautiful weekend, I have to tell you. I invite you to look on our show notes today. There'll be links. You can check out all kinds of stuff. And I'm going to be writing a longer story, which hopefully we'll have it. It'll be on my Armadoxy blog. If it doesn't come out before this podcast goes out, you may want to check back. But you'll see some more pictures as well. So do check that out. So during one of the youth gatherings, I noticed that there was a guitar on the side. I said, "Whose guitar?" Young man named Matt, a wonderful young man. Really alive in the spirit of the Lord. And by that I mean he was really living it. He was there to absorb, to participate, to give of himself, to sacrifice of himself. He said, "It's my guitar." And I said, "Wow." I says, "Can you play?" And he got up, and this was what was beautiful. You know, there was usually with young people, there's this, I don't want to say shame, but there's this kind of, no, we don't want to do it. No, it was just a priest had asked and we'll do it. And he stands up and the young kids, they just came up as he's singing, they started singing. And so quickly, I whipped out my iPhone and turned it on record and I got a recording. And that's what I'm going to share with you today as the song of the day. It's a pretty primitive recording, but you know, you're going to love it. The spirit is there. It's young kids singing the praise of God, singing what they understand and what they believe, singing as the next generation, as the new generation of Orthodoxy. Here's Matt and his friends.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the Lamb of God, worthy. my shame. Rising again, I praise your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I run dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
One more time.
The sound of young orthodoxy. How's that? Wasn't that beautiful? I mean, you know, I take advantage every week of sharing some artistic bit of music, of tunes that will speak to your soul. I think this one, it just speaks to us on many, many, many levels. And yeah, you know, you can't find it out on the net. You can find it here. And I want to thank Matt. I want to thank all the kids, and most of all, I want to thank His Eminence, the Archbishop of the community, and all the organizers for making this happen, for making this come true. It was a beautiful, beautiful experience, one which we will always remember, one which will, I'm sure, will have new lessons that will be learned in the coming months as we start processing, as we start debriefing ourselves on the beautiful experience we had with the Malankara community. At the final day, we had the divine liturgy was celebrated, and they gave me a stole to wear. You know, the priests wear the stole, and at the end of the service, Father Jacob, one of the organizers, came to me, and I folded up the stole to give it to him, and he says, no, this is yours. He says, whenever you come, whenever you participate with the Malankara Church, he says, you have your own personal stole. And, you know, just this graciousness, this exchange of Christian brotherly love was something that was exemplary. We truly appreciated this opportunity, and I know we'll be in their prayers. They're definitely in our prayers as we travel this journey of life and faith. So I hope I was able to give you a small glimpse or small explanation of the events that took place over the last week. It was really beautiful. It was very soul-stirring. You may want to put it together with last week's podcast. There was a little bit, I took it in a different way because we were right in the middle of it. Today we've completed this journey that we took with our brothers and sisters. Before I go on to the next portion, we got a lot of response to last week's podcast, but one particular one was from a gentleman named Larry Tart. Now, why do I mention him? Because I didn't mention him last week. Actually, the letter that I was reading to you last week about the incident in Armenia in 1958, about the Cold War experience and the event that was coming up in Nebraska, that letter was written by Larry Tart, and he has written so much that I'm going to put a link on today's show notes. Do check out, it's larrytart.com. Do check out his website because there's so much interesting information there. He's the author of a few books, and you need to follow. I haven't been able to get to it, only superficially in the letters and just skimming through the material right now, checking up on different different websites. But I promise in the next couple weeks, as I prepare to go there, going out to September 2nd, out to Nebraska, and as Mr. Tart corrected me, not to Lincoln, Nebraska. We're going out to Bellevue, Nebraska, a little bit off of Lincoln, I think 60 miles or so. It doesn't matter. What's important is the reason why we're going there, and we're going there to honor these men from the Air Force who sacrificed their lives, who gave their lives during the Cold War. And I shared with you briefly about the story, and in the coming weeks, as I learn more about it, as I start opening up to this really moving story. I was very moved. In fact, at one moment, it was overwhelming. I got to be honest with you, that there in Armenia, 1958, this is after World War II, of course, during the Cold War, and Armenia going through its own difficulties. You know, this is only 10 years, 15 years after Stalinism had brought so many people to Armenia. There was hunger, there was famine, you know the stories. And there, a United States Air Force plane is shot down. What a story. What a story. And then covered up. So anyway, what I'm doing today is I just want to thank Mr. Tart for getting in touch with me and letting me know about this. And I'm very honored that I'm going to be part of that. That's September 2nd. And in preparing for that, I'll share with you. And you'll go along for the ride. Definitely you will. But in the meantime, do check out the show notes today. There's the link to LarryTart.com. Also, some links to the material that he's done. It'd be nice to understand what this is all about in a different method. He talks about vigilance. He talks about the need to be vigilant in our desires for truth, and which ultimately lead to peace, right? And it's on that I want to launch this next portion. I want to talk about our words which bring about peace, that make peace, our words, the importance of us articulating ourselves. And, you know, in all Orthodox liturgies, Roman Catholic liturgies, and Episcopal liturgies, there's an opportunity for us to greet one another, to share the peace, to say that Christ is in our midst. We call it the kiss of peace, based on the Apostle Paul's words, greet one another with the holy kiss, the kiss of peace. And we kiss one another, we greet one another with this beautiful message that Christ is in our midst. And these greetings are important in life. Now, when we meet one another, we greet each other. How? We say, hello, how are you? Wouldn't it be beautiful to greet one another by saying, Christ is in our midst? In a sense, we do that with priests. Now, it dawned on me during, again, it was a really beautiful week last week, with so many clergy at this conference we were at this youth and family conference with the Malankara community. Now these Indian Orthodox have gone through Syria, so there's a lot of Arabic words which they use in their liturgy. For instance, Abuna. They refer to me as Abuna Vazgen. Father Vazgen. Now, I've heard that how many times, you know, because in the Armenian community, though we don't use Arabic language, most of our people have come from the Middle East after the genocide. They've resided in places like Syria, in Iraq, in Damascus, Aleppo in Syria. And definitely these words have become part of our culture as well. Abuna, Father. It's different, a little bit different from the Arabic word, which begins the prayer, Our Father. It's a little bit different in the way you say it from the Our Father, which refers only to God. So they refer to the priest as Abuna. Now, this other word that I had not heard, I have to tell you, it was Barech Mor. Now, if you dissect it, of course, Mor is the Lord. Barech is bless. Bless, bless, O Lord. Barech, of course, the blessing. We use the word bereket. We use Barack Obama, the name Barack. It's a derivative. It's all connected, okay? So bless, O Lord, Barech Mor. Well, it's exactly what we greet one another with in the Armenian language. Ornyadir. Bless, O Lord. And the response to that is Asvatsvorkne. It's interesting. Bless, O Lord. You're asking the priest, bless me, O Lord. And the priest says, may God bless you. And I think this is really important that these kind of ritualistic conversations don't get forgotten, because they really set the tone. They set the tone for peace. You see, if you're asking somebody for a blessing, it's impossible to engage in a negative dialogue with that person, right? Think about it for a moment. It's that common respect which many times is lacking in our lives. Orhnyader, you're a priest. Give me a blessing. Priest says, yes, I may be a priest, but may God bless you. It's a basic respect. And the more I thought about this in reference of where we were and where who we were talking with and the priests and the way they interacted with one another, I realized that we're really missing out something in humanity. We always complain that, you know, today we are becoming more and more individualized. Our cell phones take us into different worlds. Well, what we have also lost is this ability to communicate and articulate in a beautiful manner. Yeah, we can talk, we can argue, we can exchange, but how about that basic respect? Because when you say, bless me, Father, it's very difficult to follow that up with, okay, let's engage in some kind of nasty yelling at one another, in a nasty dialogue towards one another, which can then escalate. And isn't maybe this perhaps the most beautiful thing that Christianity can offer? Yeah. Respect. I mean, when I think about In His Shoes, what we formed as In His Shoes, I think about that in terms of respect. You know, Christ calls us to love one another. How can I love you if I don't understand you? If I don't understand you, I can't love you completely, can I? Yeah, I could. The concept is good. But I need to feel your pain. And walking in your shoes, I start understanding. But walking in the shoes of someone else, what does it do? It opens up the doors to respect. Wow, you're going through that. How much more do I need to respect you? Orhnyader, I respect you as a priest. The priest says, thank you for that respect, but may God bless you. Bless me, Father. Bless me, O Lord. May God bless you. In the Armenian tradition, we also have a unique saying towards monastics, towards the monks. And this takes place within the monasteries. We say Asvadzok Nagan. Now, unfortunately, because the whole monastic order has been lost today, we don't have those monasteries that people associate it with celibacy. No, this is a monastic greeting. The monks would greet one another. Asvats oknagan. May God be your helper. That's what we're saying. May God be your helper. What a beautiful greeting. It's like, I know you're going through a lot of difficulties right now. I know you have your plate is full. I know you're trying to make ends meet. I know you're trying to get through life. May God be your helper. And the monk, in return, responds by saying, Asvats Bahaban, and may God be your protector. Is that beautiful? It's poetic. It's a dance. It's really a dance. It's a ballet. It's a lead. And it's a follower. It's an engagement. May God be your helper. And may God be your protector. It's yin and yang, isn't it? Bless, O Lord. May God bless you. It's that interaction, one with the other. And think about it for a moment. What do we need in this world? We need to be able to articulate respect. We need to be able to say, hey, your life is worth something to me. Your blessing over me is important. And in getting that blessing, I realize that there's some greater power. that God is blessing me. God is my protector. Yesterday, we were invited to a gathering. You know, in Armenia, the new government has selected a new minister of the diaspora. And this young man, he came and he's visiting the different places. And he's a young man, 27 years old. It was interesting because he came and he very respectful. He said, "What I lack in experience, I hope to get from you as an older generation. But to you, the older generation, what I could offer as a young man is creativity. And perhaps we can look at the same issues that we have and approach it with a more creative, with a new way of getting through." Now, isn't that a beautiful yin-yang relationship, right? I could give you something, you can give me something. Together we can dance. Together we can achieve our goals. How beautiful. Now, of course, he did say that, you know, the purpose of their church is is to make Armenia strong. And I'm saying, wow, there you go. He said it straight out. Like, really? The church is there to promote Armenia? I mean, like, what, doesn't a travel agent do that? Don't the Armenian organizations, isn't that what they're supposed to be doing? Actually, just to lay to rest any ugly rumors that might emanate from this, the purpose of the church has always been and always will be, according to the saints, according to the fathers, according to their traditions, according to our mandate by Christ himself, is to proclaim the gospel. To proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I personally believe once you proclaim that, once you understand the gospel, once you have the gospel of love, of compassion, of helping, of sacrifice, then it's impossible to turn your back on places of need. It's impossible not to help these places. But that is not what the purpose of the church is just to promote tourism to Armenia. Anyway, that's another story in itself. I've spoken a lot about that. It was just interesting that it came out to me after I'm, if you listen to today's show, you know, like I'm on this spiritual high and then to be brought down. But sometimes that's one of the unfortunate things the church does. It's like the anchor that brings you back down to reality. And maybe even more now, when you understand it in those terms, how important it is that we honor some of these traditions, lowercase traditions, these traditions of greeting one another with a blessing, greeting one another with a holiness, with the holy kiss. Imagine waking up in the morning and greeting one another with the holy kiss. Christ in our midst. Like, what's the next sentence that could come out? Indeed, Christ is in our midst. What's the next sentence? It can only be about love, about peace. And so let's begin with these very small steps of greeting one another, of engaging in an articulation of our faith, of love. Barech mor, or nyader. Bless, O Lord. May God bless you. Greetings and articulating our faith to one another. Try it!
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that reminder, and thank you, our listeners, for listening. Yeah. Number one important thing, thank you for listening, for turning us on, for bringing us up on your iPad, on your phone, wherever you listen to podcasts, for catching the podcast. Let me get with the vernacular. Yes, we were talking about greetings, about the importance of the words, for catching the podcast, okay? Thank you, wherever you're listening. And most importantly, thank you for your prayers. They go a long way. And we receive strength and trust me in the beautiful opportunities that have been given. For instance, in the next couple of weeks, we have the blessing of grapes coincides with the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, most churches celebrate right around mid-August, the Assumption Feast. August 15th is the date in the Armenian Church. We celebrate it on the Sunday closest to August 15 with a festive divine liturgy and the blessing of grapes with its unique prayers. This year will be, God willing, will be in Utah, Salt Lake City, celebrating with the community up there and blessing grapes. Looking forward to that. And if you're listening from up there, please make sure you come by and say hello. Coming up in the next few weeks, of course, we have the Nebraska event. We'll be down in the Southern California area for much of the rest of August, sharing with you at different services, and especially on our Monday night services, where we're going to have a blessing and healing service on the 13th, August 13th. And, you know, every Monday evening, we have Vespers and Bible studies, and we combine those Vespers with unique services. This will be a very special healing service in commemoration of the Ostvodzadzin, or the Assumption Feast. Now, I want to take advantage of this opportunity, since we're talking about Assumption and grape blessing, in case you're just listening, for the first time, you're going to say, what? Blessing grapes? Yes, well, the whole idea of the Blessed Virgin Mary is that she offered herself as the vehicle, the vessel from which Christ was born, God was born. And Christ says, I am the vine. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. You are the branches. Abide in me. In other words, be connected to me and you will bear good fruit. And so on this occasion, we bless fruit. We bless the first fruit, the grapes. And in that blessing, we are reminded that we ourselves need to produce fruit. We have to do that which is good. We have to follow the commands of Christ to bear that good fruit. We have to be connected to the vine. And it's connected with Saint Mary. She gave us the first fruit. She gave us Jesus Christ. It's bearing all, giving your all, giving your best for God. There's more to it. I'll put a link on today's show notes because I've done a few shows about the grape blessing specifically. I'll share that with you as well today. So do check out the show notes for all of the stuff that we talked about. And meanwhile, you know where to reach us during the week. We are on social media and all the platforms, and you can follow us at themothershipinissues.org. Make sure you check out the show notes. Listen, I want to thank you for joining us. If you want to drop us a line, we're at feedback@epostle.net. Apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. On behalf of the production crew, Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off balance top visit.